Okay, we're going to start Visual Basic again. This time I'm actually going to go in and open an existing one. And so I'm going to open first math, a lot of you open, I'm going to do basic math. So the way that I go in, if I've got an existing program, and then we'll go back and look at how you can make a new one. If I have an existing program, okay, so I've got basicmath.zip here. And I right-click on it. And at least this is the way I do it. And I get the save link as. Okay. And I'm going to go to put a picture of that down here so that it will come up. So, where am I? Okay, so I'm going to click on basic math, and I'm clicking on save link as, and I'm going to then save it on my E drive. And notice it says that I am saving a compressed zip folder. So I'm saving it on my E drive. So I just saved, save link as, I just saved basic math onto my E drive. And if you have a different way of doing it, ignore me. This is just one way of doing it. So I'm going to then click on save, and it saves it. Now I go in down here on the File Explorer, and I go to my E drive, and there it is, basic math. Okay. And again, I right-click on it and click on Extract All. And it says file will be extracted to this folder, and I go ahead and extract. So where did I lose myself? So now I have got it extracted. And I click on the folder and see where it says the 10 in the picture? That's the one I want to open. It is also, if yours is showing, it may be showing a .sln. That's the one, the solution. It's the .sln. Okay, so if yours is showing that, that's what it is, but it's the little one with the 10 picture. And so if I click on that, it opens Visual Studio, and it comes up. Okay, so now I've opened Visual Studio. The form isn't showing, and I want the form, so if I click on the form, double-click on the form, it brings up the form. If I want the toolbox, I click over here on the toolbox, it comes up, and I can turn the pin so that I pin it in place. And now I have all of the things that I need. Okay, so I just opened the basic math. We looked at first math last time, and I figured you'd already downloaded that. So basic math is similar. It has the add, subtract, multiply, and divide. Okay, so over here under toolbox, I have my common controls. I have the things that I drag over to the form. Okay, so what I did was I dragged over a couple of labels I dragged over a couple of text boxes, and I dragged over a bunch of buttons. Okay? So I dragged those over, and we'll do something from scratch in a minute. But I dragged those over, and they're now on the form. Okay, so they're now on the form. So now, the way Visual Basic works is I set up my form for the user to interact with. And so what the user does is called an event, basically. So I can have a click event. So if I set up buttons and click on the buttons, I have a click event, and that makes something happen. Now, there are lots of other events that I can use, but we're not going to go into most of those. We're going to pretty much stick with a click event because we're only spending a couple of weeks on this. So we're sticking with a click event. So if I click on add, I want it to execute some code. So how I get the code there is...
Double-click the add button.
Yep. I come over and double-click the add button when I've got things designed, and it brings up the code. Okay? So here is the code for the add. Here's the code for the subtract, the multiply, and the divide. And they all say button something. So this is button add click, which handles the click on the button add. Then I have button subtract click, which handles the click on the button subtract. That top line that says private sub and the bottom line that says end sub is put in automatically by Visual Basic. The code that is in between those two is the code that I'm writing, and the code that I want to execute if you click the button. So if you click the button, I want to execute that code. Now on the add, I have a couple of them. And basically, I have commented them out. The single quote at the front turns it green, and that tells me that it's a comment. Okay, so I did it three ways, and I commented two of them out. The way that I left is to take what is in textfirst.text, convert it to an integer. And again, this is like in Visual Basic when I have pass int, and convert it to an integer. Then I want to take what is in textsecond.text, and convert that to an integer. Then I am adding them together, and that will be textanswer.text. Okay, so I'm putting it out onto the form in a field that I call textanswer. The dot text on all of these means the property. I want to put it in the text and make it the text property. Okay, there's a whole lot of properties, and you played with some of the colors and everything, so you saw a lot of different properties. But one of the properties is the text property, which is what is contained in the box. And I want to change that text property in the case of textanswer. In the case of textfirst and textsecond, I want to get what's in that text property. Okay, so I want to get the two numbers, add them together, and put them into textanswer. An older way of doing this, but one that works just fine, is to use val, okay, which means also convert it to a number. But that doesn't specifically say an integer, it just says convert it to a number. And if I were to take the comment off the top one and left it just the way it is, it would concatenate, because the plus sign means both add and concatenate. So it would end up doing the concatenate instead of the add, because I didn't do the conversion. And again, that's like in JavaScript. If you just add two things together, they concatenate. Okay, So those are the three things that I have up there. You can also have a button that closes the form, and my button closed as a me.close, me referring to the current form. So it says me.close, and so that's a way of closing the form. Okay, so if I go back and run this by clicking on the start with the kind of green triangle there, and I put in a 12 and a 4. Okay, and then I say I want to add, it gives me a 16. Okay, this was giving me trouble in the other class too. For some reason, it doesn't want me to take a picture of something layered on top of something. So if I put it out here, let's see if it lets me take a picture. Yep. Okay, so that's the add. Then if I keep the same numbers and do a subtract, I now have an 8. If I do a multiply, I have a 48. And if I do a divide, I have a 3. Okay, and it didn't like that either. It's being very temperamental today. Okay, so I have all of these different things, and then when I want to close, I can either hit the X button or I can hit the close, and it will close up. Okay, so if I hit the close, it closes the form and I'm done. Okay. So, that is a very simple program, and that's how you can open one of your existing programs or one of my existing programs. I've got some existing programs out there. Yeah. Pardon me? Okay. Can you see what is the problem? If you got to look over and see what his problem is, if you will. Okay. It's waiting for you to put in numbers now. Okay, but then you take this to close it. See that brown box? Click on the brown box. And that closes it back up. Yeah. Okay, try it again. Okay. Yeah, that's good on standards. Okay. Works every time. Only wish it did. Okay, so now I'm going to close this up. Again, if you want to save before you close, I suggest save all. And you click the save all and save it. And then you can close it, and I recommend close solution when you want to close it. So use close solution to close it. Okay? So, when you are starting a new project, when you start Visual Studio, the thing you want to do is to create a new project. Okay, so if I'm going to start a new project, I come in here and I click on Create a New Project. Okay, and for some reason I didn't get this screen. I think I double-clicked and you really want to only single-click. But if you don't get this screen that lets you choose the language, you're in trouble. So be sure you get that screen. If you don't, go back. Okay, I skipped the screen for some reason. I think I may have double-clicked instead of single-click or something. But I skipped this screen. But I know I need this screen, so I hit the back and it came up the screen came up. So make sure you get that screen because you need it. On this screen, I'm going to choose the language. And Visual Basic is not the default, so that makes it important that you choose the language. So on the language, I'm choosing Visual Basic. And it would be lovely if it then would show me up here that I chose Visual Basic, but it doesn't.
Well, it says filtered.
It says filtered by Visual Basic, right. So that lets you know, and it also includes Visual Basic now in the options. I still think it would be nice to show me up there. So now I've got the language for Visual Basic. And the one that I want to get, I've got to scroll down and only a little bit. And I want Windows Form app. Okay, so I want the Windows Form app. So I click on that and then click on next. Okay, and you can hit Visual Basic if you want to, but it's fine. And then click on next. Okay, and it didn't give me a chance to save it. It just did it itself because I was playing around here. So we're going to get out of this, and we're going to go in one more time. As I told you, I'm learning how to do this new thing anyway. So you hit on, from the very beginning, you hit on software. Then you hit on Visual Basic, or Visual Studio, rather, 2019. And then it comes up and says, create a new project. And I create a new project. I pick the language, Visual Basic. I go down and I find the form one. Windows Form app, click that, and then click next. Okay, and this is where you want to be to tell it where to store things. So I'm going to call this day two, and I want to store it on my E drive. So I'm going to browse and find my E drive and put it there. So I'm now telling it I want it on the E drive and I want to call it day two. If I wanted to put it in a folder when I did the browsing, I could have found a folder that I wanted to put it in and put it in that folder as well. But I just put it on the root of the E drive. So once I have it on the root of the E drive, I say create. And it creates the project. Okay, so here's the project. It's called Day 2, so it's got the right project and all the rest. Okay, and it will be being stored on the root of my E drive so I can take it when I'm done. Okay, so it's important to get that, and if you don't get it, back out and try again, but it's important to get it stored where you want it. Okay? So now I've got the form all set up. And now I can drag the things over. So again, I can drag over a label. I can drag over a text box. And I can drag over a button. Okay, so I can drag over a whole load of things, but that's what we looked at so far, was dragging over a label, a text box, and a button. A label is just to kind of tell you what's there. Okay, it's labeling things. The text box is going to collect user input, and the button is going to trigger an event, the click event. Okay, so I can use those three things. Now, as I'm working with those things, I have the properties. I can set the properties of those things. Okay, so I've got properties, and if I look down at the bottom, you can see the properties that I have there. I have put out already I put out button one, foam one, label one, and text box one. Okay, so the form is the whole form. So for example, if I want to change the background color of the form, I can look in the properties and find the background color. Okay, so those are the things that I got. Now, the deal is that I want to name them something that's meaningful. Probably with a label, it's not that important. But with other things, I want to name things that are meaningful. I have two ways of showing things. I can show them grouped, or I can show them by alphabetically. And I prefer alphabetically. So I hit that second little icon in that says A and arrow Z, and I hit that, and it shows them alphabetically. Except for a few things that it puts at the top, which I really like that way too. So this is the name, and I've got button one right now that I've got clicked on, so I can name button one. If I had a text box clicked on, I could name the text box. If I had the label, I could name the label. Okay, so I'm going to call this button click, BTN click. And usually the way people do that is they write the three-character beginning in lowercase, switch to uppercase, and then write the rest of the name. Okay, that makes you look like you know what you're doing. Does it really matter? No. But does it make you look like you know what you're doing? Yeah. So do it. Okay? So this is my button click. Now, right now, my button click has a text value of button one. And I would like to change that and give it another text value. So I scroll down and I find the text property. And I'm going to change it to click. And so now, if I click away from that, the button now says click. Okay, so I set the text property to have it say click. Now with the text box, I'm going to change it from text box one. And I did it last time, I called it text name. So we'll do that again. That's text name. So I called it TXT name. And then the label, I'm going to change and call it LBL name. Because it is the label to show me where the name is. So I'm calling it LBL name. And that one I want to change the word label one, so I want to change the text. Notice with the text box, I didn't want anything in the text, so I just left it. I want to leave it open for the user. But now I've changed name. Okay, so I changed name. Then I put in another text box where I was going to put the answer. That's what I did last time. And so I'm going to call this text greeting, which is what I called it last time. Okay, so I'm calling it text greeting. So now I've got the same form that I had last time, except it's laid out a little differently. I had the button in the middle last time and a few things, but it's fine this way. Okay, so now I want to write the event. And none of that do I want. So I'm going to close that. Okay, so I want to write the event. So I come up here to the click button and I double click it. And it brings up this. Public class for form one. This tells the stuff that's going to be applied to form one in class. it put that, Visual Basic put that there for you, you need it. Because I clicked on the button, it set up a private sub or subroutine that is going to handle when I click on the button click. So that means when I click on the button click, I want this to happen. So at that point, I put in the code up here, and I say text greeting. I want to change the text property. I want to put something in it. So I want to change the text property, equals, and then I go through and say text, oh, I wanted to say hello. Hello, and I leave a space there because I'm concatenating things together and I want a space after hello. So I left a space before the quotes and then I say text name dot text. Okay. So I've written that there, and I now have the code that I need. So I now decide I want to run it. I click on the green, and it brings up the form. Okay. So I'm going to put in John, and then I'm going to click, and it says, hello, John.
Nice.
Okay. So I got the click event working. Okay. So now I want to change color. I want to do all of those kinds of things. I can go in and do those as well. And I really want to... So I go back to the design, where it says form design, and this time I'm going to look at the background color. So I'm going to say I want to change the background color for the form. So I bring up form one. I can do that by clicking somewhere on the form or coming over here under properties and selecting form one. And then I look for background color. And background color is right there. So I click on the little down arrow. I click on custom. And I'm going to make it kind of a light brown. Or I guess it's more orange. Anyway, I now have a background color. Okay? And then if I want to change the background color for one of my things, I can put on the click button that I would like the button click to have a background color of green. And so now that has a background color of green. And I can change the font color and I can change the font. Okay, is everybody more comfortable with it than they were yesterday? Or Tuesday? Because Tuesday was not looking good. Okay, has anybody got questions? Okay. So now if I want to save this, I do File and Save All. And now I can get out of this. Okay. So again, if I want to open one of my things up here, I can go and save it and then open it. And so I can try some of the information that's up there. I'm going to go back to First Math, which we were looking at last time. And I have already unzipped those, so I can go to my, I think I had them on my F drive, under Visual Basic, and First Math, I click on it until I see the 10, etc., and click on that, and it loads it. Okay, so it's loading it there. Okay, so now going on, we have an if statement here. Okay, so I said here, if textfirst.text equals what's in textsecond.text, then. Okay, so the if statement is written where I write if, then I put a condition, and then I write the word then. Now, if you forget the word then, Microsoft will very nicely put it in for you. It didn't used to do that, and I used to forget it half the time at least. Okay? But now it apparently a lot of people did, because now it puts it in for you. Okay? So I'm writing here, if this condition is true, then I want to put in the word same into textanswer.text. Else, I want to put the word different into textanswer.text. Okay? So that's a very basic if statement. So if I run this, and I can put a number in, or I can put letters in if I want to. So I can put A, I didn't mean to put quite that many A's, A, B, C, and then down here I can put A, B, C, and question one is what this is. See how it says button question one? So if I click question one, it tells me that it's the same. Okay? So that told me that it was the same. Now if I go back and change this one and put a D on it and then click on question one, it tells me that it's different. Yep. Oh, good. I have no idea what that means. Is there anything left?
No.
Okay, it doesn't work for, look at the places that's on the line. You apparently didn't call them the same names I did, or you changed something. This text answer isn't happy anymore. When it does a red squiggly line, it's trying to tell you something. So go back to the form and click on that and see what you called it. First, and that's why. Because on the form you called it first, in the code you called it text something or other. Okay, on the code you called it text first, but on the front you just called it first. Okay? Yeah, right. Okay, the name that you call it on the form has to be exactly the same name that you called it here. And think about in JavaScript, if you define a variable, and that's what you're doing really, is defining a variable on the form. And if you define a variable, you have to use that name. Okay, you can't change names on it because it doesn't understand. Okay, when you are working with numbers, you need to do the conversion. So if I want to compare two numbers, I want to convert them in order to have the comparison correct. Okay, It assumes that everything is on the form is a string, is text. And if it's numbers, then you wanted to do a numeric comparison, you have to let it know that it's working with numbers. And so you go in and put the numbers in. Okay? For example, if you are working with text, okay, or string data, it puts it over against the left wall. So even if I put in a number, I've got 1, 2. Okay? If I am working with a number, it puts it over against the right wall. And so I wanted to put it over against the right wall when I'm comparing a number. Okay? Because if I leave it on a string and I put in the number 3, it does the comparison. And 1 is less than 3, right? It does a string comparison going character by character. 1 is greater than 3, therefore 3 ends up being greater than 12. Okay, when it's doing a string comparison. When it's doing a numeric comparison, it pushes them over there and it compares and it says, okay, 12 is the bigger one. Okay? So that's why everything on the form is considered to be string. And so if you want it to be treated like a number, you have to let them know in Visual Basic know. And you do that with the C integer, the convert integer. And so by converting that, it takes the 12 that was pushed against the left wall, pushes it over against the right wall, and then it can work with it as a number. Okay? So when you are doing numeric comparisons, which is why on the other one I did ABC, okay, because that's string and that's fine, I want to put it in this way. Now the other thing that I want to notice here is that I have an if within an if. Okay, in JavaScript when we did this kind of thing, we used curly braces, okay? In Visual Basic, you're not using curly braces. You're using an if, an else, and an end if, okay? So I've got, if this is true, then put out this. Else, ask another question. Is this true? Then do this, else do that. Then I have to end both the end ifs. Now, Visual Basic very nicely will indent things for you because it knows that it's more readable if it's indented, and so it does the indenting. I didn't do that indenting. It does the indenting for you. Okay? So, what I have there is 2 questions. My first question is, I'm saying, is first greater than second? And if it is, then I am putting out the message that says first greater than second. If not, then I'm asking the question, is first less than second? And if the answer to that is yes, I'm putting out the message that says first less second. And if I get a no to that, I'm putting out the equal. So each of these circles that I draw down below are end ifs. Okay, each of those circles are an end if. and I have to put the end if in to tell it that the if is complete. Okay, so instead of using curly braces, and the curly braces told it when part of it was done, I had to put in an end if to tell it that that if was done. So I have to put in an end if. Okay, questions? Okay, and on the last one, actually the last one that I have here is not the last one you have. I hit something somehow or other. And I have to close, and then I can just get rid of that. If you hit buttons randomly, hit something by mistake, it frequently will create a little thing for you there. And if you're not using it, you want to get rid of it. Okay, if I want a variable to work with, I can define it, and I use a dim. Okay, I use a dim as opposed to, in Visual Basic, we use var. Okay, dim is what I use to define a variable here. And I tell it the type. So I said dim work answer as an integer. So I'm telling it I want to set up a place in memory called work answer, and I want it to be an integer. Okay. So what I did here is I set up a variable that says dim work answer is integer. And then I said, okay, now I want work answer to be text first.txt minus text second.txt. Okay, and then I went in and said, okay, if work answer is greater than zero, then put out the greater than zero, otherwise put out the not greater than zero. This time I got away without doing the conversion, and it worked all right. And usually it will in this situation, but it's always safer to convert them to a number. Okay, so I'm using a variable there. Now, if I define a variable in a subroutine, the variable is what is known as local. This is a local variable. That means only that subroutine knows about its existence. No other subroutine knows that there is something called work answer. Only this subroutine knows about it. And so it is local to that subroutine. Okay, it is not used by any other subroutines. So if I tried to talk about work answer up in this subroutine, it would tell me it was undefined. It doesn't understand. Only the subroutine where I defined it understands it. And so that makes it a local subroutine. Now if I go up here and I were to define it up in this part right here, if I put the dim in right there, dim work answer as integer, okay? Now it is global, or sometimes it's called public or whatever, but now it's global, which means every subroutine can see it. Every subroutine can see it. So if I define it up there, then it is available to all of the subroutines. If I define it within a subroutine, it's private and only available to that subroutine. Okay, so I have to be careful how I define things. When you're getting started and not sure what you're doing, the safest thing to do is define them all up there. and then everything can see them and you don't run into the problem. Okay? But there are times when you want other subroutines not to see something when you're doing more sophisticated code, and then you define it locally. Okay. All right. What I would like you to do for 10 minutes or so is just bring up what you did on Tuesday if you have something. If you don't, make something. And experiment with an if statement and play around with an if statement. And if you have time, play around with a variable. Okay, so bring things up. Add a few boxes to what you did before. It doesn't have to make any sense. We're just trying to try a if statement and that sort of thing. Okay? So bring up something that you had before. If you don't have anything, then make something. But just play around with trying an if statement and seeing if it works. So what did they say when you sort of showed up with the notebook?
I have to tell you something.
Probably.
Like,
when did you send it?
Like a day or two ago.
Probably haven't got to it yet.
Okay, it was just asking like what my current grade is.
I don't know.
No, I know, that's why I sent an email out.
No, but I wouldn't know. I haven't calculated them yet.
Okay.
So I don't know. I can tell you what's missing, and I can tell you that most assignments count about 4 points.
Okay.
But until I know exactly how many assignments I have, I don't know whether they count four
or five.
I
know, like, I still have a couple missing, but like a couple you sent back for revisions, and I still don't know how to do them. So can I still get a grade for those assignments?
At least I have something right at the end, you
counting.
Can,
okay.
But not now.
Okay, that's fine. That's what I was worried about.
But also, I would go, and if you're having problems, come to one of the help sessions.
I really don't have time, though.
Okay.
I work overnights 11 to 7, and then I come here 9 to 2, and then I got to go home to sleep to do it all over again. I would love to. I just don't have the time to do it.
Yes, how many courses are you taking?
Four.
Have you measured your sanity level?
No. And I have a new,
it's very,
I have
insane.
A new baby at home.
And, how new?
Born last week.
That means lots of sleepless nights.
We just adopted him last week. So.
That means lots of sleepless nights, or at least that applies to every baby I've ever known. So throw in full-time student, full-time parent, full-time...
I don't know why, like, I wanted this semester to do at school. I was like, well, I want the college experience, and I the worst decision I made, I shouldn't have been all online. That's, I already registered for my classes this semester. It's going to be all online, and I'm probably going to be doing my IT job full-time instead of working at Cardi's.
Okay.
Yeah, I work hard now, it pays off later, right?
Right. Okay, now's the time to try one. Hopefully it will open. Yes. And try putting in an if statement and experimenting with it a little.
How do I go home scheduling and arriving appointment?
On my door.
Where's your door?
112, K-112.
It's upstairs.
No, downstairs, 1 row. K-112. It's inside a general area, it's over in that corner. You have to go through one door and then by the bunch of offices in there. And there's a lot of free time this afternoon, so I don't know if you're ready for this afternoon, but there's a lot of free time for advisement because not many people have signed up, so if you're interested, do it. if you find, if you know you're going to be complicated, then take two slots. Because they're 20-minute slots, and if you're a complicated person, then I may need two slots. So,
do you know what you have for today?
Huh?
Do you know what you have for today? Like, when you'd be available today?
I think I have something at 2 and at 2:20, so I think anything after that.
Okay.
That's what I had when I came down this morning.
Yeah.
I don't know what somebody signed up on while I'm not there. Yeah.
So like you do in the script, could you like make a combination of the statement, the answer, all three connectables, like you put on the mind itself? Yeah. So for the first question, it's like, I'm thinking of doing like this number is greater than, less than, or more than.
Sure.
So make like a combination of all three of those things on my first.
I would do it this way, but you can. You can have ands and ors just like you can in Visual Basic.
Okay.
Only now you're using the word AND and the word OR.
Gotcha.
Instead of using the symbols that you use in JavaScript, you actually use the words AND and OR.
Okay, gotcha. Oh, I see. Okay.
Has everybody got an if statement of some kind working? Has everybody tried to get an if statement of some kind working?
I'm trying.
If at first you don't succeed. Yesterday, because I went in and pulled the wheels off faster.
clip along the fall.
So now you've got two fields and an answer field all set up. And they're called, I think, first. Let's look over here. And then it comes up text first. So this one is text second, I'm sure. The other is text first. This one, I'm sure, is text second. And this one is text first as well. So now you can put, make another button on there that says if or something.
So there's a button, and you can go over here, scroll up. Actually, I think I'm going to be able to.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. I thought you might get in the same spot.
I know the difference.
Okay, click on column one of the year.
Oh, is it the one that's together?
You don't see it. Double click on it.
I can help you with that thing.
So now you're going to start dragging stuff over there. Okay, so here's a button. And Xbox.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Xbox. You have the buttons there, and you need to name them like I did. That's what I said.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Now all of yours, you have to take it back. Okay, the next one I want to look at is called user input. So if you want to download user input, and I actually think this will help you with your problem that you're coming across, because it's got attitudes a lot better. So you don't want to look at it by text, because it's not a text box, it's just a friendly variable.
Dot text for those text boxes.
happens if something won't worry them, because I can't tell what to read to someone.
Okay. Because it's time to go, really, almost. This one, I've defined a group of variables, and I define them as decimal numbers. And then I am taking information in from the user. So instead of having it on the form, I'm taking information in from the user. So if you look at when I run this, all I say is put in my name, so Jane, and then click here. So that's what it says, put my name in, and then click here. And as soon as I say click here, it comes up and asks me to enter the hours worked, because I said work hours is going to be put up an input box that said that enters hours worked. And so I put in the input box that says enter hours worked. I put a 40 in there, we'll say, and then I click OK. And it says enter pay per hour. Now I'll put a 50 in there. And it multiplies 40 and 50 and puts it out into a text box. So this is what you should be looking at. It did the calculation and put it in a work area and then put that into the text box. That was where your problem was. Now I'm dealing with numbers and I wanted to format it as currency, which got my dollar sign and my comma. So I said over here, once you calculate it, okay, quiet please, I don't want competition. Multiply it, store it in work gross pay. Now take work gross pay, format it as currency, and put it in the text box. And so that will get it showing up pretty in the text box, because I have said format it and put it out in the text box. Okay, I am done. If you have questions, hang around and we can try to solve your problems.
What number is your door?
Pardon?
What number is your door?
112. 112. K-112.